of His Word. This evening I direct your attention to verses 16 and 17 in 1 Corinthians 10. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray now that you'd be pleased to bless your word to our hearts, applying your truth to our lives, that we may enjoy more thoroughly the benefits of your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the challenges of every church body is the maintaining of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this can become particularly difficult on certain occasions, such as the occasion of putting up a new church building or remodeling a church building. I was quite grateful for the fact that when I went to Sterling, Kansas to become the pastor of the church there, their building project was completed and accomplished. And I was quite glad for that. Another occasion on which the unity of the Spirit may be challenged is the election of a pastor. And that prospect is before you as a congregation. And so, as we look at our text this evening, which does bear down on this whole matter of unity based upon the fact that we are one in Christ Jesus, I remind you of the fact that because you share in the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ the Lord, and that you express this unity that you have in Christ by coming to the communion table, you need, as a congregation, to persevere in this unity and maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so that's my basic message for you this evening, that because you are actually one in Christ, sharing the body and the blood of Christ as represented in communion, which we've participated in this morning, persevere in the unity that Jesus Christ has been pleased to give you. And we'll see how this emerges from our text this evening. A text in which the Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthians and reminds us of the cup and the bread. And that's where we turn first in verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And of course, these are rhetorical questions that beg the affirmative answer. Yes, yes, of course. Well, let's look at these questions. Let's take up the second one first, the one concerning the bread. Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? As we noted Wednesday evening and again this morning, the background for the communion service is the Passover feast. And interestingly enough, the idea of the breaking of bread comes out of the Passover ceremony, the Passover ritual. Early in the part of the Passover feast, the leader of the Passover will take the bread and display the bread to the individuals who are sharing in that particular Passover. And this is a family situation, a family feast. And so the leader may be the head of household. And the leader displays the bread to the people around the table and shows them the bread and comments that this is the bread of affliction, reminding those who are participating in the Passover of the affliction Israel did undergo in Egypt. And then there is a reading of the Passover story to remind the participants of how the blood was spattered on the doorway and the death angel passed over. And there's a recitation of the plagues and how the people came out of Egypt. And then there's a singing of Psalms 113 and 114. This Egyptian Hallel, which is actually composed of Psalms 113 through 118. And at this place in the service, those two psalms are sung. Psalm 114, if you go back and read it, really bears down on the deliverance of the people from Egypt. Later in the Passover meal, the leader of the Passover again takes the bread. And there are three loaves of bread in the Passover meal. And he takes the top loaf and he breaks that top loaf into appropriate pieces to give to each of those who are around the table celebrating the Passover. And this is, I think, what Paul is referencing when he says, the bread which we break. It's a direct link with the Passover meal. And then, as there is a blessing of the bread with the breaking of that bread, and a distribution of that bread in the Passover meal, the participants eat that bread reclining at the table. And the symbolism of their reclining is that they are at rest before God. It sounds like the Lord's Supper instituted, doesn't it? Of course it does, because it was a Passover feast in which Jesus was involved. And interestingly enough, It was unleavened bread that was to be eaten. And that was to remind the people of their coming out of Egypt quickly. But it was also bread that had been baked quickly, unleavened, with no opportunity to sour. And because this was the case, it was sweet bread, reminding the people of the sweetness of their deliverance from Egypt. And so, Paul reminds us of this. Is not the bread we break, going back to the Passover feast, the bread of affliction and the bread that reminds us of deliverance? Then there's a second question, the first question. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the body or the blood of Christ? And the cup of blessing came actually at the end or after the supper proper. And in the Passover ritual, it was what the Jewish folk called the third cup in the Passover feast. And at that time, all who were at the table engaged in a prayer, which was called the grace after the meal. And when this grace after the meal, or this prayer after the meal, was said in unison by the participants in the Passover, the third cup was filled, and then there was a blessing which was said over that third cup, and that third cup was then passed to all the participants in the Passover meal. And this was the cup of blessing over which the end of the meal blessing was said, and then it was passed to all the participants. It does sound a lot like the communion service, doesn't it? And there's a reason for that, we see. It was then, after this third cup, that Psalms 115 through 118 were sung. This was toward the end of the Passover meal. And of course, you remember that this is exactly what Jesus and the disciples did. After the meal, he took the cup and blessed it. And then they went out after singing a hymn, which was a part of the Passover ceremony. Now, what do both Paul and Jesus do? Both Paul and Jesus connect Jesus Christ himself with the Passover bread that was broken and distributed to the participants in the Passover feast. And both Paul and Jesus connect this third cup with Jesus Christ, the cup that was passed among the participants of the Passover feast. And as this is the case, you see, on one hand, Jesus says, no, this is no longer the bread of affliction. This bread is my body. Why does Jesus take this step to alter an age-old ceremony? Because he is the one to which this age-old ceremony was pointing for centuries. He is the fulfillment of the Passover feast. He is our Passover slain for us. And because he is the fulfillment, the picture, the Passover feast, which was the portrayal and the picture of the good things to come, was no longer necessary. Something new had come. And so Jesus Christ methodically alters the character of this feast. And he says now of the bread which is broken and shared among the participants, this is my body. Take and eat of it, and do this in remembrance of me. You see, now suddenly it's no longer in remembrance of the affliction in Egypt, the bread of affliction, and it's no longer a remembrance of the freedom that the people had in being delivered from Egypt. Now it's a much more profound ceremony, if you will. Remembering that Jesus Christ brings us out from under the affliction, not of physical slavery, but of spiritual slavery. That Jesus Christ brings us out from under the affliction of sin and the guilt of sin. Now, I know that you have had more than once in your lives a sense of guilt that has come over you because of sin. I have. And I know that you are grateful, as I am grateful, that Jesus Christ washes us clean, washes you clean. And the bread, which was also sweet, now reminds you of the sweetness of the deliverance you have from the guilt of sin through Jesus Christ. And in the same way, Jesus and Paul relate the cup to the blood of Christ. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And so, taking that cup of blessing in the Passover feast, which reminded the people of the blessing of God in their deliverance, Jesus says now of this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he again changes the ceremony. because he is the fulfillment of all that that Passover feast looked forward to. And in so doing, he gives that cup to his disciples, saying, "Do this in remembrance of me, because now I am the one who has given you and will give you deliverance. And you will rejoice with this cup concerning me." But then there's another thing in verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? What does this mean? Yes, you share the elements, but what this is a token of is the fact that you share not only in the elements when you come worthily, as we discussed it this morning, you not only share in the elements, but you share in the work of Jesus Christ. And Paul uses the example of the altar in this context. Were not those who came to the altar sharers in the altar? Well, that is, did they not share in the sacrifice that was on the altar? Yes. And some of the sacrifices they even ate of with the priests in the court of the tabernacle and in the court of the temple. They did share in that sacrifice. They ate of it and partook of it. And in a more profound sense, what Paul is saying to you and to me is that you not only share in the offering in this sense, but you share in the actual work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. That blood was in fact shed for you, and you are a participant in that blood. Do you remember what Moses did on the mountain? When the covenant was confirmed, he took the blood from the sacrifice, and he sprinkled some of the blood on the altar. And he read the people the covenant. And the people responded, "All that the Lord has said we will do, and we will be obedient." And then Moses effectively connected the people to God by the sprinkling of the blood of the covenant upon them. And Jesus says of the blood, in this case, pointing to himself, "This blood that I'm shedding connects you with God. And you are a participant in the salvation that I am working out for you." And in like manner, that bread, eating that bread, yes, sharing in that bread, yes, your sharing in that bread is a token of the fact that you share in the work of Jesus Christ. And this is why the Reformers called the sacrament not only a sign, but a seal, an authenticating mark a mark that's placed upon you and placed upon me that you are an actual participant in the good work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that this is the case. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Yes. And then notice what the apostle says. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. And of course, the bread points to Christ. And if this pointing to Christ is an affirmation of the fact that you're not only eating a loaf of bread together, but the very fact that you participate in the work of Jesus Christ, the one Lord. You are one because of the work of Jesus Christ. You are one effectively because of what Jesus Christ has done for each one of you. And you, each one, have been united to Jesus Christ. You have been united to the life-giving vine. You are one. You are one body. You are one vine. You are one loaf because you have been saved and brought together by one Lord. This is an actuality. It is not just a metaphor. It is not simply symbolism. It is an actuality. I like to think of it this way as we look at this text again in verse 17. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body. You see, we can ask the question, what's more important? Each of us as individuals or the body as a whole? Which is more important? I would say to you, they are of equal importance. They are of equal ultimacy. Is this not true in the marriage relationship? What's more important? The marriage or the fact that there are two individuals? Well, they're equally important, you see. You can't put one over the other. The fact that we are individuals is just as important as we are husband and wife. And the fact that we are husband and wife is just as important as the fact that we are individuals. And so, there must be an effort made for the expression of individual life in marriage, and there must be the expression of unity within marriage. They're of equal importance. The place we get confused is that we have different roles to play. The husband's not more important than the wife, or the wife is not more important than the husband. It just happens that we have different roles to play. Same as in the family. What's more important? The family as a unit, or the individuals in the family? They're of equal importance. That's really the case. And actually, I better step lightly here. Actually, mom and dad are not more important than the children. Or the children are not more important than mom and dad. There's equal ultimacy here, equal importance. It just so happens in the family, we have different roles to play. And so it is in the church that every individual in this body is as important as every other individual in this body. And our individuality is not more important than the unity that we have together in Christ. They work together. And that's how God has established it. Don't you see this in the text? Verse 17. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. We're many. And there are many different gifts, praise be unto God, in this congregation. And that's a very good thing. And by the grace of God, there is unity at the same time. And so unity and diversity work together. And it's a beautiful thing. And one of the things that you need to do and that we all need to do is beware of the fact that we can push this out of perspective, that we can push the unity side too hard, or we can push the diversity side, the individual side, too hard. They must work together. We who are many are one. Thus says the Lord. So what does this mean? I think what it means is that since you share in the work of Christ, in His body and in His blood, as you've expressed that in the communion service, you need to persevere in the unity that God has been pleased to give you. And one way that you are going to be tested just a little bit is in a coming election. And in God's providence, this is the case. And so I encourage you. I'm very thankful for you, having had the privilege to be with you over a period of weeks and months, off and on. And I'm thankful for the gifts that you have, the fellowship that you have, the spirit of unity that you display, the love for one another that you display. And I'm grateful to God that this is the case. You are a people who have genuinely partaken of the blood of Jesus Christ and of the body of Jesus Christ. And He has put you together. In many ways, God has a sense of humor when He does that, doesn't He? He has put you together. And you now, because this is the case, must persevere in the unity that Jesus Christ has been pleased to give you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you that in so many ways you have been so good to your people. We pray that as we depart from this communion season, we might be grateful for your grace. We've had an opportunity to look at the nature of the Lord's Supper as proclamation. We've had an opportunity to look at the examination of the Lord's Supper with regard to properly discerning the Lord's body. And This evening we see the blessing that accrues from those who properly partake of the Lord's Supper, this unity. Bless your people in remembering what you have done for them, and bless them as they move forward in the work of the church here, in seeking the man of your choosing to be their under-shepherd. And we trust that as this is the case, your people here will persevere in the unity that you yourself have been pleased to give them. We pray these things in the good name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.